This episode of The Lost Podcast is brought to you by SquirtShirts.com. From Raleigh, North Carolina, it's The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack, a podcast dedicated to the show Lost on ABC. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
And I'm Arturo.
Are you now?
I just like the way the name rolls off my tongue. Uh-huh. Arturo.
You sure that's how you say his name?
I'm guessing. That's maybe I'll ask him later.
Tom's friend.
We all need friends.
Exactly. We all need friends in the world. We had the last episode before our little hiatus.
Yes.
And I really liked it.
I thought it was good.
It was shocking, great, and we finally got to learn, you know, what the heck Mike has been up to the past.
Mike's been up to a lot.
Exactly. So it was a great episode.
A lot of guilt, but I think a lot of us thought that it was going to affect him that way.
Yeah, I mean, this one kind of really did put him as a major candidate for who's in the coffin.
Yeah, I think so.
But maybe they're just kind of fooling us.
Who knows?
Exactly.
Maybe it's Arturo. Maybe Arturo's in the coffin.
In the coffin.
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone else seems to be expected to be in the coffin. So
let's say this week it's Arturo.
Welcome to the Friday morning edition of The Lost Podcast. And for the first time this season, Jack and I are actually doing this podcast in the same room.
Yes. Right after Lost. And so if you're looking for the Monday podcast,
it disappeared. It was
a nightmare.
Yes. Not only did Talk Show give us problems, but the internet here is at this house has been just...
Well, Monday your internet was down at your college.
Exactly.
And then Tuesday we recorded a Monday podcast on Tuesday.
But then like half of Jack's audio just disappeared.
Maybe I just left the room.
No, because you were there, we recorded.
Well, so you don't know because you weren't here.
Well, I mean, I heard you. I was talking to you. Was that a recording of your voice?
Maybe you just think you were talking to
me. So I guess the podcasting gods were against us. And for some reason, so now that's going to be our last episode, episode 3.
And I really got to say, that was the best work you've ever done. You were just on the ball the whole time. I was a little off.
You were cranky.
You were just.
You're kind of cranky. Maybe it's a good thing.
You were just outstanding.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
I kind of went on a rant at the end, but now that it's gone, we'll forget it.
Maybe we'll find it and we'll post it later, like 2 years from now. The last episode.
Yes. Norton!
All right. Well, we got a lot of stuff to get into. Got a lot of calls. Got to do a recap about this episode. And we actually had an update from Ryan from the island that was supposed to be on that episode. So I think I'll put on this one at the end of the show.
So you can see how close he was to being right.
Yes. Well, there actually was stuff that was supposed to be in this episode that he talked about.
Right.
Kind of recap from what he saw before, but there's some new stuff about the new episode.
It'd only be a spoiler if you didn't see today's episode.
Well, and there's stuff from the next episode, episode 9 as well.
Yes.
But since 3.15, the last episode, is gone, we're going to put it on this one instead. And that's about it. Yeah. Oh, you have a new crackpot theory, I presume, right?
Yeah, I had two, but then we have a call out there that has...
So you got to go back to one.
Well, I'll go back to one because I don't want to steal the thunder.
Do we have any questions answered from tonight's episode?
No.
Easy show, then. Yes. What do you say we get to the last recap?
I say we do it.
But before we get anything today, if you'd like to buy a Jay and Jack shirt, you can click the link right now on the AAC feed. Also, you can check out jayandjack.com and click the big old button on the sidebar.
It's huge. You can't miss it.
It's ginormous. It's about as big as Jack's bald spot. All right. Jack, what do you say we get into last recap? Are you not going to speak now? Are you that mad?
I'm not mad.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Last recap. Last recap.
You know, it's funny. I don't miss that part. Part J dancing and singing and mouthing the words to his own stupid song.
It's last recap time. And this episode started out, it's called Meet Kevin Johnson. The title of this episode.
Yes. Meet KJ.
Huh?
KJ.
KJ. Oh, okay. Kevin Is that Johnson. Your nickname for him?
No, it's not mine, but it's out there.
Okay. Well, this episode started out in Othersville, or New Otherton. And everyone's huddled inside Locke's house.
Yep, looking like they're going to play some Monopoly or something.
Yeah, or maybe some, you know, charades, something like that. But no, Locke brings in Miles.
Okay.
His jaw's a little sore.
Now, don't you think it would have been a funny scene if he still had the grenade in his mouth, and as he walked in, spits it out and goes, about time.
But then the grenade would have
blown. Well, no, we find out it was just a dummy grenade, and Locke would have said, huh? Just a dummy the whole time.
Who's the dummy now?
Exactly. Who's calling who a chump?
But so he tells the Losties that once they get Ben, they're going to kill everybody else on the island.
Right.
So then they're like, what? Why? And then Ben tells them that Michael is the spy.
Yes.
And they're like, Michael, the guy who killed two innocent women.
In cold blood.
In cold blood.
Sawyer said that, yeah.
Yeah, Sawyer said that.
Sawyer didn't look happy.
No, he didn't seem too happy. I guess he didn't really like Michael that much. No. But did you see Hurley's face?
Yeah, Hurley looked mad.
Because now it brings an interesting dynamic in that, will Hurley get his vengeance for Libby's death?
I don't think he's that way.
No?
I just don't think that's in his nature.
But there seems like if there is an interaction between Michael and Hurley, there should be some kind of resolution.
There'll be something maybe, but I don't think he'll...
Because he didn't really get that in the season 2 finale. They just kind of said it, and then they kind of went about their way.
Right.
So, then we go to the freighter. We have Saeed and Dez. They're hanging out in their lovely bunk.
Yeah.
And
nice accommodations.
Yes, and the
alarm. Was there any blood stains on the?
No, I think maybe Kevin Johnson wiped it up quite well.
No, he does good work.
But an alarm starts to sound off. They're gone to the deck. The captain's beating up two people, and I guess these crewmates are trying to get off the island on this little boat. And they said, "Do you know what happened the last time this happened? Minkowski, his brain exploded.
Right?
You want that?"
And they said, "Well, maybe
I'll chance it. I'll chance it." But then. The captain tells Michael to clean up this mess.
He told Kevin Johnson.
I'm sorry, Kevin Johnson to clean up this mess. And Saeed right away just goes up to him and confronts him, and he asks, what is he doing here? And Michael says he's here to die.
Right.
Cut the commercial. Very interesting. We come out of the commercial break. We go to Locke is taking Miles away, and Sawyer comes up to him. And Sawyer asks, why are we still keeping secrets? Why don't we talk about the $3.2 million that Miles offered to bribe Ben? And Locke says, there's not exactly a bank here, so I think everything's okay. That's when Miles puts out a good point, I thought like 2 weeks ago he had a gun to his head, and now he's sitting...
No, it was sitting,
a week ago, and now he's sitting with you guys eating pound cake.
Right.
And so this is a guy who
and
gets
And who doesn't
what he
like
wants.
Sitting around eating pound cake? So you know Ben's a pound cake fan.
Well, yeah. Is he a Twinkie fan, though?
Pound cake with cream filling.
No?
No.
Is that too much?
It's too much.
We then go to back into Locke's house, and Ben is looking at Alex and Carl. And Carl kind of has his hand around Alex's stomach.
And Ben does not like that, so that's... Well, I'm not saying anything.
Oh, is that your crackpot theory?
Well, it was, but...
Well, we have calls about this, too, do you think... I will say it right now.
I think she's pregnant.
Yeah.
And I think Ben knows it.
Or maybe he's just maybe presuming it or thinking it.
I think Alex is pregnant.
But then he talks to Alex, and he says... He gives him a map, says, you need to go to this temple, you need to be safe. And tells him that they need to hide. And he says, stick with your mother. She'll take care of you.
Of course, Danielle.
So then they go out the door.
Russo goes, okay.
Yeah, it seems a little weird.
She just looked at him, okay. Yeah, all
right. Well, she goes, yeah, he's probably right.
Whatever you said. Yeah, he lied to us for 16 years and, stole you and kept me away from you. But you know what?
I'm cool with it. We then go back to the freighter with Saeed and Desmond. They go down to the engine room where Michael is working, or Kevin Johnson. I'm just going to call him Michael. I'm not going to call him
Kevin
Johnson.
He's not Michael yet. He's Kevin Johnson. He's Kevin Johnson.
They know he's Michael. They call him by Michael. His name's Michael. Kevin Johnson is his alias.
All right. It's your show. Do whatever you want.
It's not my show. It's our show.
Oh, whatever.
Our show.
It's our show. Our show.
Saeed asks Michael for an explanation, and then we go back into a Michael flashback.
Yeah.
Or as you like to call it.
Flash medium.
It's not, though. He went back in time. That's back in time.
He didn't go
That's
back. He didn't physically go back in time.
Well, he went. It's a flashback. Well,
I think anything before the plane crash is a flashback. Anything like in 2000, present day, is a flash forward. I think anything in the middle should be a flash medium.
No, it isn't, because he's going back. He's going into the past. That's in the past, no matter how short it is.
I just think we should come up with something new. We're so sick of flashback and flash forward. Let's have something.
No, we don't need anything new. It's hard enough differentiating between flashbacks and
flash forward.
I think
we should let the people vote on it. I think anything in the middle should be a flash medium.
No, because not only, we've had this before, that we had it in Michael's last centric episode, when we went back to what he was doing when he was on the island.
Yeah.
And we had it in Locke's episode. Last season,
but I didn't come up with it then. So now it's now a flash medium. In my mind, it's if you can call him Kevin Johnson, Michael, when he's still Kevin Johnson, no, then I can say lame. Flash Media.
Lame. But it's Michael, and his little apartment looks kind of grungy.
Well, you know what I found funny?
What?
He can fix anything in the world but a leaky faucet.
Well, who says he can fix anything in the world? He worked in construction.
He fixes everything else.
What else did he fix?
He could build a shower on the island.
Well, he never finished it. He just drew a picture
because
he
went out and shot people, so... Not my fault, but he had plans to fix it. But
well, see, we only have plans. I don't know if he actually ever did it.
He's working on a ship, but he can't fix a leaky faucet.
Maybe. It's different. Construction is different from fixing a leaky faucet.
There's a water shortage out there.
But he's writing a letter. He looks at a picture of him and baby Walt, and he gets in a car. It was a Mama Cass song. It was like, better. It's getting better every day.
Yeah, I think so.
It was like the chorus. I don't know if that's the name of the song. But then he starts speeding up.
Rather
empty New York streets.
Yeah.
And New York streets are never empty.
No traffic.
But I guess, you know, when Michael...
They aren't when you're in a flash medium. That's a beauty.
But then he goes, he pulls in front of this, was like a storage container thing.
Yeah, on a dock.
Yeah, on a dock. And he says, I'm sorry. He pins a little note to his chest.
Now, first I'm thinking, okay, I thought he was going to go and drive into the water.
That's what I was thinking.
I was thinking, so what good is the note pinned to your chest? It's going to, all the ink's going to run.
Well, not only that, but what good is the note when it's going to be covered in blood?
I don't know.
But, so then he drives straight into this thing, crashes into it.
And then what did I say? Obviously, he can't kill himself.
Yeah, exactly.
I did say that.
We go to commercial break. We come back. Michael's in the hospital. It's Christmas time in the hospital.
Right.
Because there's Christmas trees.
I would assume so.
So, here's the question.
Oh, man. No questions this early in the show.
Now, it's Christmas time, last time on the island. That's what the calendar said. And
right.
That's what Saeed said. And then when Desmond called Penny, it was Christmas time.
Right.
How much time from that moment when he was there at Christmas? I mean, because they have Christmas trees up. Give it a month, maybe, right?
Well, I don't know. I don't know about every country, but in this country, they start putting Christmas trees up in like September.
Well, they start selling them in September, but
no, you go to any store, you can see Christmas trees.
Yeah, but would you say maybe day after Thanksgiving to Christmas, maybe a bit after Christmas, you see Christmas decorations? Yeah,
about around December 1st.
Yeah, so it seems like there's some kind of weird timeline thing going on.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot more days exit on that calendar than like November to December.
Right.
So seems a little weird.
It's something I'm sure someone will figure out and then send us information so we're not so confused.
But he wakes up to Libby as the nurse.
Yeah, that was weird. And she had blankets.
And she called him by Mr. Dawson.
I thought the funny thing is she had blankets. And they had no holes in them.
No. But then he actually wakes up from it and a nurse comes in and asks about Walt because his name was on the note on his chest.
Who's this Walt guy?
Should we contact him? But then he says, no, that's all right. Then he leaves the hospital. He seems to get pretty well pretty quickly, but we don't really know how long he was in the hospital.
He's a quick healer.
Maybe it's the island healing him.
Yeah.
But then he goes to Michael's mom's house. He wants to see Walt, but the mom won't let him. She asks, you know, you were gone for 2 months.
Wait,
we thought you were
going back
dead.
To the hospital. Why on the thing? I mean, I'm not in hospitals a lot, but on the monitor it said alarm off. Would you want the alarm on?
I don't know.
If something happened,
maybe that means like there is no alarm, so it's off.
Okay.
Like when it's on, I go beep, 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 saying it's on.
Okay, all right.
But yeah, so the mom at Lamb, she says, you know, you were gone for 2 months. We thought you were dead. Now you come back.
I thought
back.
She said 2 months.
She said 2 months. I said 2 months, I thought.
I thought you said just 3 months.
2 months.
Well, either way, it's 2 months.
2 months. And
big,
but now
big
you,
secret. You crashed.
Yeah, and now we can't. I can't call you by your name. And Walt comes here. He screams in the middle of the night. I'm the one that has to be there for him. You gave up your right as his father.
Right.
And he says, will you tell him I love him? And she says, sure.
Sure.
And he walks away, and Walt looks out his window. That is definitely not Malcolm David Kelly.
No, I would guess not.
No, but it was far enough away, so it wasn't really, you couldn't really see him. But that wasn't him.
I'm saying it's not. I'm sure we'll have screen caps of who it actually is.
Yeah, but I mean, but you can't really use him anyway because it's just.
So is this how they're going to explain Walt? We're never going to see him again?
Well, I think maybe we'll get to him in the future, like in
future Walt,
like a longer, like a flash forward, like around Jack,
a true flash forward, like Jack,
a bearded Jack, flash forward,
a true flash forward.
Well, a further flash forward.
Okay.
These flashes are getting too complicated. That's why we don't need a flash medium.
No, because I think it helps. I think it helps. Break up the three things we got going.
Flash forwards that are further down the line.
No, we have a beginning story, a middle story, and an ending story. So I think if we have a flash medium, I think that would help solve.
No, lame. All right, next. Michael goes to a pawn shop. He exchanged Jin's watch.
Yeah.
For a gun with bullets.
And there's no 15-day waiting period in New York, I guess.
Well, I guess if you have an expensive Rolex, you know.
True. And if your name's Kevin Johnson and not, you know, Michael Dawson. No, Michael Dawson would probably come up on a computer and say,
don't get him again.
He's already killed two people.
So then he tries to kill himself and Tom stops him.
Yeah.
Tom comes out of nowhere. Nice clean cut as well.
Yeah. Clean shaven dude.
So then we come back. Tom said, we send you from one island in upon another, Manhattan Island.
Right.
And Tom, they're having a conversation. Michaels wants to beat him up. He keeps trying to beat him up. And doesn't
well, didn't he say, well. How do you know how where I'm at?
Yeah, exactly.
We keep track of you.
Yeah. You think we'd send you out of here and not keep track of you?
Right.
But then Tom says, you know, you told Walt what you did, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm thinking, what a jerk.
What?
He shouldn't have told his son that. Why would you tell a 10-year-old what you did?
Well, I mean, if this is like the only person you can really talk to about what happened.
He's a 10-year-old kid.
I know. I'm
that
just
shows
saying.
You that Walt that Michael has not had experience being around kids.
Yeah.
That you don't put the burden of your sins or your mistakes or whatever you did for whatever reason you did it for.
Uh-huh.
You don't burden a 10-year-old kid with it. If he's 11, okay.
He says, you know, the island won't let you kill yourself. You have more work to do.
Right.
But then he says, you know, I'm going to be here at this penthouse. Come and see me when you wise up or whatever.
Right.
So then he's back in his apartment. He tries to shoot himself, but the gun doesn't work.
What was that? What was that game show he was watching?
I seem like it was some old game show.
It looked like an old game. I was trying to remember what it was, but it was some old game show. So he's watching the Game Show Network, I'm assuming.
Yeah, we'll know by Monday show probably. But
you
then
think,
all of
you think
sudden,
that we'll see anybody from Lost on that?
That'd be funny.
You think there'd be someone
like
from
Locke with hair?
Yeah, Locke with hair or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Or maybe Nikki or Paulo or someone like that.
Well, they're already on last week.
I know, but I'm just.
But is that old? I don't think they'd really be. They'd be like kids in that time.
Yeah, that's
period.
True.
So then we see the 8:15.
Or the guest host is Ben.
The 8:15 wreckage comes on TV. The breaking news.
Same story we saw.
Yeah, exactly. And the confirmed dead.
Right.
But then he goes whoa, and he goes to Tom. And Tom has a boyfriend, or...
He has a friend.
Yeah, so I guess that confirms that... remember the producer said it was in season 3...
Right.
...that there was a gay character on the island, and Tom...
Well, that was been the, out there the longest time, because when he said...
He said to Kate.
Kate.
He said,
sorry, you're
not
my
type.
Then everyone went, oh.
Yeah. Tom tells him about Winmore. He shows him these dug-up graves where he got the bodies.
In
Thailand, right?
Thailand, yeah.
And he bought this 747 plane.
And how are they getting all this information? Well, they must have a spy on the inside on Widmore.
Well, exactly. They have a lot of connections.
Right.
Where he says, you're going to be going to Fiji on this freighter. Meet Kevin Johnson. He gives him a new passport, right. A new identity. And he says, why do you want me to go back? I'm not going back to the island. He says, why do you think you're going back to the island? You're going to kill everyone on board.
Right.
He says, you need to save everybody.
You need to redeem yourself.
Yes. So we cut the commercial break. We come back. He's in Fiji. Michael comes up. People are boarding up on the freighter, and Michael comes in and he meets Minkowski. Minkowski introduces
He seems
him.
Like a nice guy, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He introduces him to Naomi, and she says that he has a box waiting for him. It's all locked up.
Well, I like how Minkowski said, "Hey," he goes, "I'm just a deckhand." He goes, "Hey, we're all the same on here."
Yeah,
I thought it was
nice
pretty
guy.
Cool. Yeah.
Then he meets Miles, and he says, "You know, Kevin isn't your name."
Yeah.
Right off the bat.
Yeah.
Says, well, 80% of us here aren't telling the truth about something, so.
But then he offered him an orange.
Yeah.
Piece of orange. That didn't sound like Miles.
Maybe he was a nicer guy before.
I guess. I don't know.
No,
because we've seen him before.
Yeah, he was a jerk then, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom calls him on his cell phone. Kevin,
now, hold on a second. Did you think that when he said, you're not Kevin Johnson, you think that maybe Miles had spoke to the dead and realized that who was coming on this boat? And at first, I mean, I'm sure that's not what happened. But at first, when he first said that, I go, oh, wait, Miles knows something.
I don't know.
That was my first thought when I thought that. I said, oh, Miles, I wonder if he spoke to Libby or NLC or somehow. But anyway, that's not what happened, but I'm just saying.
I mean, it's an interesting thought on how he knew. Maybe he has more clairvoyant powers that aren't just related to the dead.
No, I think he was just. I just think he was throwing it out there that everybody's lying.
Yeah. But then Tom calls him. He's saying, you know, Michael's getting some cold feet because he actually met him now. Because I'll give you some other names, you know, since you know these people's names now. Sun, Jin, all these other people.
Yeah, Sawyer.
Yeah, and he says, you know, this is what you need to do. Quick it and cold feet. Throw the phone away and do your job.
What's the deal with Lost and cell phones?
I don't know.
They're like all disposable to them.
Well, it's a very big budget show. They don't need to worry about losing cell phones. But then they're at sea. He meets Frank Lapidus, and he says, you know, I was hired here by Widmore because I know that it wasn't really Flight 815 at the bottom of that trench.
Well, and he said Widmore knows it.
Yeah, exactly. So, which is contradictory to what Ben said. And
we don't know what's going on.
Exactly.
Here.
Like the producer said, we're going to have two different stories for the explanation of the Flight 815 crash.
Yes, and that's what we're getting.
And yes, exactly.
Who to believe?
Exactly. Who done it? Who? Because the captain said, you know, Ben had something to do with the fake Flight 815 in the trench. And Tom and Ben are claiming that Widmore was the one that did it.
Yes.
So it's a he said, she said kind of thing going on. Or he said. So then Kimney is doing some target practice, and Michael comes up and sees it, and he says, well, I thought we were doing this for a rescue.
Rescue mission, yeah.
Yeah, and he says, why don't you go clean up some blood?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, there is none yet.
Yeah.
And then shoots his arm, and they basically have his bone blood. No,
that's not really what happened.
No, it's not what happened. So then
he did say,
go, don't you have something to clean up?
Yeah.
And Michael sees, you know, that they're not really there to rescue them. And Michael goes, gets the case, and he goes into the engine room and reveals a bomb. And there's some kind of that Mama Cass song comes on again. And Libby says, don't do it.
Right.
And she's wearing, it looks like she was wearing the same clothes that she was wearing when she got shot.
Yeah.
But then he says, anyway, he presses the button, says execute, very similar to the computer.
Right.
And he presses it, but it doesn't blow up. And a little note that comes up and it says, not yet. I was like, dude, that sucks.
That's just not right.
Even
for Michael.
Exactly.
Do you like Michael or do you hate Michael?
I don't hate him.
Do you like him? I don't have a lot of respect for him. He turned on his friends. I know he did it for his son, but
it's tough because I can't really say because I wasn't in his situation. You know, if it was my son, I don't know if I'd went about killing people. But, you know, I don't know. I wasn't in his situation. Remember, he was held and he thought his son was going to be killed.
Right.
He knew they were doing experiments on his son and stuff like that.
He was under a lot of pressure.
And he was under a lot of pressure. So it's hard to say if I'm not in that situation.
I think it'd have been all right if he just killed Anna Lucia. No, seriously, I think people would have been, oh, okay, you know, but once he killed Libby, it was like, oh.
Yeah.
We like Libby.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to say because it's not like I'm not in that situation, so I can't really say he's wrong because I wasn't
right
in that situation. So then we go back to Michael. He's in his little bunker. He's throwing tennis ball on the wall. Minkowski comes in and asks if he's going Nicholson.
Yeah.
Like him in The Shining.
The Shining.
Throwing the tennis ball.
Yeah.
That is pretty creepy, though, in The Shining, when he just starts hurling that tennis ball.
Yeah.
Very creepy. But he says he has a call. He says, nobody to be calling me here. And he says, it's from Walt.
Yes.
What? So then he goes into the communications room. And he says, Walt, is it you? And then he realizes it's not Walt. It's Ben.
Yeah.
And Ben says...
Now, is Ben still in his wheelchair?
He was sitting down.
I couldn't tell if he's in his wheelchair or not. I'm sure we'll get some screen caps later on.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell if he's in his wheelchair. That might help tie up the
timeline.
Timeline.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I come up with them every now and then.
But, you know, he says, blowing up them, killing innocent people, that he doesn't do that. He'll do anything to get what he needs to get done, but he's not going
to
kill innocent
people. Yeah, going to when he goes to war.
Exactly. He's not Widmore. That's what Widmore would do.
Yeah, he's not a monster.
And then Michael says, what about Anna Lucia and Libby? He says, I didn't kill them. You did.
Yeah.
No one told you to kill them.
Yeah. But but Ben doesn't know that nobody told him. He doesn't know what Juliet said.
Exactly, but
so Ben still doesn't know exactly what's going on the island.
Yeah, but at least we know that Ben didn't send the order or something. Well, he was locked up anyway.
Yeah, he doesn't know. He was there.
He
under his guidance, he probably thinks that no one told him.
Yeah,
but he has no idea what they him to do. So
for sure, okay,
it hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, but he says, you know, you need to wreck the communication stuff. You need to ruin the engine. Just let them sit there. Keep them from getting to the island. You will save your friends.
Right.
And he says, welcome to being one of the good guys.
Now you think that Ben and Widmore could be still working together?
I don't know. I still think there's a good possibility
that they are working together.
Yeah.
That this is all a ruse to get everybody off target, and you know, like maybe Tom does believe that Widmore's behind it, and maybe he wants, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
To say. So then we go to Saeed. Well, Michael finishing telling his story to Saeed, and Saeed asks, "So you're working with Ben?" And he says, "Yes." So then
that's my job. That's what he said, right?
2 years from now.
No.
So then he grabs Michael, takes him to the captain, he rats him out, saying, "This is your saboteur." His name is Michael. He was one of the Ocean, or he's one of our, you know,
he was survivors. On flight Ocean.
Yeah, he killed E15. Two of our members and rats him out, which seems kind of funny. But I think this kind of ruins your theory that Saeed works for Ben.
Or if Ben had told Saeed to rat Michael out. You don't know that.
All right,
It's still out there because you can't prove. There's always an out. There's always an escape.
All right.
You don't know without a shadow of doubt.
Okay.
Can you say 100%
sure? No, I can't.
Then don't bring it up.
All right. I can bring up whatever I want. It's a free country.
No, it's not.
Well, we then go to Alex, Rousseau, and Carl. They are trekking to the temple. There's a nice little moment between Carl and Alex.
Now, where did Danielle go when they stopped?
She was out ahead, kind of looking around, scouting. She's looking at the map.
Yes. Does a good job scouting.
Yeah. Then all of a sudden, we start hearing some, what it sounds like, gunshots.
Yeah.
Carl's
just clueless.
He shoots his
water bottle. He looks at the water bottle. Huh?
And it's like 20 minutes, and then he gets shot.
Yeah, it's like next. It's like, the water's leaking out. How am I going to drink out of this? What's going on? I can't figure this out.
He puts the bottle up.
And he's trying to get water out. I don't have this is ridiculous. I don't have any more water.
And then it
did seem like an hour and a half went by. It's like, hey, get up, run.
Well, I mean, if you're shocked, you know. But Carl gets shot. Alex starts freaking out. Rousseau comes back, pulls Alex aside from the gunshots, and says, "We need to get out of here." Carl's already gone. I love you, Alexandra. Or Alexandria.
On three.
And on three, we're going to go.
So why is it always on three?
What?
People are shooting at you. We have to go now. We don't have... We can't count to three. We got to go now.
Yeah, I know. But then she counts to three. They get up. Rousseau gets shot. She falls down. Alex is sitting there by herself. And there's kind of rustling in the leaves.
And she was so concerned for her mom. I'm Ben's daughter. I'm Ben's daughter.
Yeah, she stands up saying, "Don't shoot me. I'm Ben's daughter." Cut to Lost. Now, here's the question. If I'm getting shot at, and I have some experience in this, you don't, go straight towards where the bullets are shooting. You go to the side or something.
Or run back.
Run back. Run in a different direction than the way they're shooting.
Didn't Rousseau have a gun?
Yeah, she did.
I guess getting out the gun's out of the question, too.
I don't know. I'd stay low and, go to the sides or something.
No, no.
Not run straight in the clearing.
You jump up in the air and say, let's 1, 2, 3, run now.
Yeah.
It just, to me,
that seemed like a pretty, granted, they're in a stressful situation, but there's other ways you can go about that.
I still can't get over Carl sitting there watching his water run out going,
Yeah. So, there's the episode. All right. Who's shooting at him? I think Kimney. I think that's where Frank Lapidus was. Yes. They took their helicopter. But I can't remember if Kimney was on them after the helicopter left.
I can't remember. I think Kimney was still on the boat.
Was he?
It was the other guy that was with him.
Yeah, so I think wherever
I can't remember, and I haven't had time to look it up.
Frank Lupitas is, that's who is shooting them.
Or how'd they know they were there? Okay.
Don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Seems rather interesting. When I first saw it, I thought Ben would come out of the woods.
Yeah, you were saying it's Ben. I'm like, no.
Because it makes sense. He'd kill Carl and Rousseau and get Alex back.
But Rousseau would not, Alex would not, go back with him.
I don't know. It's just I kind of felt it first.
I guess
it seems Ben would just pop up out of anywhere since Saeed's last episode.
Yeah. See you at dinner.
Yeah. It was a great episode. A lot of action. I thought it ended on a very climactic note, and can't wait to see episode 9 in 4 weeks.
I'm ready.
Yeah. That's what we think about the episode. Let's get to what you guys thought about the episode for some listener feedback.
Let's do it.
But first, let's have a word from our sponsors.
Okay.
Hey there, it's me, your baby dog king, and I'm to tell you about SquirtShirts.com. I know you love me, but you're always dressing me up in dopey clothes, covered with ducks and bunny rabbits. At Squirt Shirts, their funny designs are based on our favorite TV shows, movies, video games, and more. Go to SquirtShirts.com right now. SquirtShirts.com!
Listener feedback!
All right, it's listener feedback time. Got...
I just moved the mic closer to me. I'm sorry.
Well, thanks for moving it closer to you. At least, you know, you're working on that.
Yes.
Because remember, we have to talk into the mics and spend an extra hour.
I know that can be a problem. So I'm working on speaking. Because, you know, we all have an extra hour.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on. It's just one more hour.
Yeah.
It's already, you know, 12 o'clock at night.
So you don't take a shower.
Yeah.
No big deal. That's different from no other day.
Exactly.
That's what I thought was funny when your response, when you said, you know, I need to take a shower. I'm like, since when?
All right, we got
Don't you just have like little washables laying around?
Bob from Detroit, Norton, which we haven't had a call Norton on a Lost Podcast in forever. Nick from Philly, and Tumbleweed. I think that's what he said his name was. So here we go.
You know, I apologize ahead of time if that's his real name.
Okay.
You know, here we're laughing at a guy, and you know, if you're out there, your name is Tumbleweed, you know, maybe your parents are fans or Westerns or something like that, you know. Like Oklahoma, I guess, you know, a lot of Tumbleweeds. Tumbleweed, blow over here.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry for...
Dust in Tumbleweed. The wind.
All right, okay, all right. All here we go. Here's dust the in the wind.
Oh, man, this is Bob from Detroit. Just got done with the episode. All I can think is WTF, WTF. But seriously, Tom, that was a shocker, his friend he had there. I guess Kate really wasn't his type. Anyway, I really think Saeed made a mistake ratting out Michael. And, Carl, that's a shame. But I really hope Russo's not dead, because that story, they can't just cheat us out of that story. But, this is Bob from Detroit saying WTF, mate.
Hey, Jane Jack, it's Norton. Just wanted to give you guys a call with some lost thoughts. Thought the episode was great, and, you know, if I still had to bet money on the old Who's in the Coffin lotto game, you know, I do think Michael's probably the best candidate, but with him trying to kill himself and everything, and we keep seeing images of Michael almost dead, it almost seems like he's maybe too good of a candidate. So I'm thinking, how weird would it be if maybe Walt was in the coffin? Just because he's someone you wouldn't expect. He's someone, especially with a name change, that very few to no one would be at his funeral. But he's someone with a big connection to the island, like you guys are talking, and that he probably would help the Oceanic Six get back if he could. And that's probably why Jack was so upset, not just because of that, but because he was a child. I think the only thing big going against that is, you know, Walter Kidden. He's such an innocent victim, but she was brutal sometimes. And, I mean, for all we know, that obituary could totally just be a red herring. Like, that might not have actually been saying about who it is in the coffin, but that could have been just a sign from Ben to the Oceanic Six that they had to do something or meet somewhere, or, you know, I mean, it might not even be indicative of who is in the coffin. So just some thoughts. And also, I had an idea that we might find out in the future that the others, the original island inhabitants, like Albert, there was actually some sort of prophecy about the one who would come to lead them, because when long-haired Albert saw, you know, found out that young Ben could talk to his mother who had died, he seemed really excited, like maybe this was the one they'd waited for. And then, but now it seems that we're thinking Locke is probably the person that's meant to lead them, and Ben knows that but doesn't want them to know it. I think the prophecy is going to say that something about the one had to do something to kill his father, because Ben does that no problem. And then they say that Locke has to do that, and then that's what Ben uses against him when he couldn't do it. But I think Albert, since he's one of the originals, knows that it probably is Locke, and that's why he helped them figure out a way to do it. So I'm thinking almost like a Star Wars tie-in, like the prophecy of the, you know, the one who's going to bring balance to the Force. I think there's probably, we're going to find out, there's going to be a prophecy for the others about the one who will lead them, since we know they're sort of religious with some sort of temple and things like that. And that one, as we now know, is most likely Locke. So just want to see what you guys thought. Great to see you both, the great work as always. Talk to you guys soon.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Nick in Philadelphia. Loved the episode. I just finished watching it. I thought it was great. Almost the entire episode was one big long flashback, so that was interesting. but I just wanted to float a couple of theories. My first theory is that Alex is pregnant. I noticed her touching her stomach a few times, and she and Carl seem to have this meaningful connection, maybe like they're about to have a baby together. And my second theory, and I really have to give my girlfriend Sarah credit for this one, is that Ben is the one that shot and killed Carl and Rousseau, because he doesn't like things to be taken away from him that are his. And both Carl and Rousseau had a claim to Alex, and were going to try to take her away from Ben. So he either shot them or had somebody shoot them. So that's my theory, guys. Can't wait to hear the episode. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Thumbleweed from Queens, New York. I just figured I'd call in quickly to show something I noticed. I'm curious as to whether or not it's possible that the flashback we are seeing with Michael actually took place far farther in the future, as well as the people from the helicopter, possibly far further in the future than we think. Based on the fact that when Michael was in the hospital, we can clearly see a Christmas tree in the background. This could be them screwing with us as usual, or merely something silly as they forgot to take the tree down. But I'm willing to think that it's impossible for there to have been a Christmas in between the time the plane crashed and the time that we think Michael and the helicopter people take off. Is it possible this is a few years in the future, maybe just an extra year, something along that lines of, you know, playing with our timeline. Let me know what you think. Love the show. Later, guys.
All right, thank you for those calls.
So do you think what Tumbleweed's saying, that it was a flash, instead of it being a flash medium, it's a flash forward?
I don't know. I just, it's.
The cars didn't look old enough to be.
No. I
mean, new enough.
Yeah, not. I'm getting
confused here now.
That if it's within a month, but it just, there is something going on screwy with the timeline.
Yeah.
And it just, there is something weird going on there. Don't know if it's somehow connected to being near the island and that's how time's getting distorted or what's going on. But
does the phone look like a 2004, 2000?
It didn't around look, that it, time, yeah. I mean, it wasn't really like one of those big clunker phones, but right. It wasn't a new like Razor or anything. But Razors were around in 2004, I think. But just not the Crazers.
Yeah. I forgot to mention something.
Yes.
When we were watching it, because we actually watched it together for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
When they showed Claire, you said, just die already. I just want that note. I forgot to put that down that, yes, Jay said when they saw Claire, his beloved Claire.
I think I just said just kill her already, I think is what I said.
No, you said just die already.
Oh, okay. All
so
right.
Just die already
mm-hmm.
to Claire. The girl all he right. kicked to the curb. So I thought it was interesting. So, yeah, I think we'll get more information on the if it was a what the heck's going on in the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Nick, thanks, Nick, because of that phone call, I had to change my crackpot theory. I think she's definitely pregnant.
Yeah, it seems they're hinting towards that.
Now, do you think Ben did shoot him,
mm-hmm.
maybe Ben shot Carl because he didn't want his grandchild to be raised by an other? Because Carl's an other, right?
Yeah. We don't really know the origins of Carl.
I'm just throwing it out there. Are you happy that Carl got shot?
No, it was weird, his new haircut, though.
Yeah. He just spruced up for the occasion.
When he gets shot, he's like, oh, I just got a haircut.
Yeah.
What a waste.
What a waste of money. My water's running out. That's still crazy.
I just bought this water bottle. I just got this haircut and this new polo shirt.
Yeah.
What a waste.
What a waste of money. Can't catch a break. Man.
Hello, Owen.
Okay, and Norton.
Yes.
Who's in the cop? Is it Walt?
I don't think it's Walt because, I mean, I know that they said they're going to change the obituary. We know that.
Okay.
But it said he had a teenage son. But here's the thing. If it was Walt, okay, I can understand maybe nobody being there because he was under an alias.
His grandmother would showed up.
Exactly. His grandmother would have
unless
showed
his grandmother's dead.
Yeah, unless she died. But why just Jack? I think Hurley would be there.
Yeah. Did we ever discuss?
Unless, I mean, we haven't seen Hurley this far in the future, so maybe Hurley's dead, maybe. I don't know. But Hurley would definitely go, because he had, out of the Oceanic Six, I think he had the strongest connection to him, because they
I
used to
play
so. Backgammon together and stuff.
Wouldn't Locke leave the island to go see... Well, he might not know about it.
Well, he might not know about it.
Have we ever discussed this, that maybe Jack was just so out of it that he was just reading the wrong obituary?
That seemed kind of a waste.
But, you know, Kate, why would I go to a funeral? Why would
that'd be
I'm
waste.
Just throwing it out there because he was kind of out there.
Yeah, I think that'd be kind of a waste of all of it.
And then Bob, WTF, WTF. Tom, what a shocker. Saeed, did Saeed make a mistake? I think the captain knew all along. He didn't seem shocked by it.
Yeah, he didn't seem shocked.
He didn't jump. I mean, he's been pounding people on the boat. He's lets Regina jump off the, you know, and go for a swim. And he didn't jump up. You think he would have said something like...
Yeah, I was half expecting the captain to go, oh, well, I work for Ben also, or something like that. And that kind of would have been the climax or something.
Well, at least get up and just grab Michael. It's his ship. Mm-hmm. Aren't captains supposed to be pretty possessive of their ship? They go down with their ship. I mean, you're messing with my ship. You're destroying my equipment. You're destroying the engine. There should have been more of a reaction to it.
Yeah,
if he didn't know, I think there'd been more of a reaction.
Exactly. That's why I kind of felt like, I know, and I'm working for Ben also. I was kind of waiting, expecting him to say that or something. Half expecting him. But yeah, anything else you'd like to say?
No, I was just pretty shocked that you wanted Claire to die.
All right, well, let's get in this next set of calls here.
It's funny, you don't even try to deny, it.
Mike from Manhasset, Kevin in Maryland, Jill, and Tim. Here we go.
Hello, Jay and Jack. This is Mike from Manhasset calling with a theory as to who killed Carl and Rousseau. So sad, by the way, so sad. I believe that many people would think that only Dan and Charlotte and Miles are on the island, but if you remember from a couple of episodes ago, we saw on the boat that the helicopter was gone, and one of the people on the boat said that the helicopter pilot had taken them to someplace. Obviously, the island, and I believe he took some of the crew members with him, with their guns and everything. So I believe that they are actually on the island, and the people on the boat were the ones who had killed Rousseau and Carl, and war will be started, as you saw me be for next month's episode. Great show. I'll talk to you guys later.
Hey, Jay and Jack, this is Evan in Maryland. Obviously, awesome show tonight. Not my favorite, but it was good as far as getting character development and all that stuff, and it was definitely good, and obviously still left you with questions and answers and all that good stuff. Blew my theory out of the water, unfortunately. My theory that I sent you guys earlier about Walt's mom being involved in all this and all that stuff. But still, obviously, they did a better job than my theory ever could do. Loved it. Love the show. Still listening to you. You're the 6-hour preview of your 25-hour thing. And definitely missed having the Monday episode. Wish that could have happened. But I understand you guys are probably swamped and everything. So it's all good. Anyway, look forward to hearing you guys' podcast tonight or tomorrow, whatever. Keep up the good work. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, this is Tim in Indianapolis, and I'm just have a question after watching the episode here, how they could work Walt back into the plot of the show, because the character who plays him, Malcolm David Kelly, he's aged 4 years from the time of the show. He was 11 or 12 when the plane first crashed, but now, even though the show has progressed only 3 months, he's aged 4 years in time. So how can they still make him look like he's 11 or 12 years old when he's almost 16. I mean, could it be part of the mythology of the island? I don't know. I'm just wondering what you guys think of this. All right, thanks.
Hey, Dan Jack. This is Jill in North Carolina. What a great episode we had tonight. I hope Rousseau's not dead because I want to see her backstory. Michael being Ben's man on the boat may not have been a surprise, but having him back tonight was fantastic. It was a really strong episode. I wanted to call with a little that I have about how Ben has $2 million to give to Miles. And it's that I think Ben is essentially pimping Jacob out to cure people's cancer. Millers Bioscience is a for that. They charge incredibly high prices to cure people's cancer. And there's some connection with the mystical healer in Australia that Rose and Bernard went to see in the episode SOS. I'd love to hear what you guys think, and I can't wait to hear the podcast tomorrow. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Thank you for those calls.
All right. Going to Tim. How are they going to show how Walt's aged? How are they going to do this?
Well, like I said, I think they're probably going to do some kind of like flash, like, you know, way in the future flash
forward.
So with
Jack or Hurley or,
yeah.
Or maybe he just doesn't, we don't see him again?
I hope it's not that's not the case. And I liked how they kind of played it into last season where we saw him
Walt.
Taller ghost Walt.
Yeah, taller, deeper sounding voice Walt.
Yeah, to Locke. I like that. So there still is ways to add him to the show like they did last season, and he could show up in the flash forwards and whatnot. So I believe there is still ways to get him into the show.
So going to Jill, is Ben pimping out Jacob? Is that how he gets his money? By curing things, curing cancer and solving problems. And
I say it's a possibility. Who knows? You can't throw it out. It would make sense on how
money
he
talks.
Raises his money. Yeah,
money
exactly.
Talks.
So.
Okay, I like it.
Yeah.
And then Kevin, Walt's mom being part of it. I think Walt's mom was part of the Dharma Initiative a long time ago. And then she just... Maybe we'll find out later on. And as far as the Monday episode, we did record it again, but it... I don't know where it's at.
It's the last episode.
Yes.
Of this podcast.
And then Mike, is that where Frank Lapidus took the helicopter onto the island?
Exactly, and that's what I was saying earlier. I think that's where he was going.
Yeah, I think that's his where they were instead of going.
But I don't think Frank did it though. I don't think Frank did it.
And you think? I don't think Frank. I think Frank's still with the helicopter.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think he knows what's really
going
on.
Yeah. I think he's the kind of guy that just says, "Hey, if I don't know what's going on, I'm cool."
Yeah,
because
he seems like a good guy. I don't think he would have done that.
Unless it was Frank.
Yeah, unless it was, and that'd be kind of a twist. But I like Frank. I want him to do that.
You don't want him to do it?
No.
Maybe it was Daniel Faraday.
No.
That would be the coolest twist. That would be the coolest twist to see Daniel McFly walk through that little jungle there with the gun.
That would have been a huge twist.
Now, that would be... No, we see it the first...
I know.
First clip. That would be the biggest shock in a long time, because no one expects him to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
No one wants him to be the bad guy. Wouldn't that be cool if it turned out to be Daniel
Faraday? No, I don't want him to be a bad guy.
I'm going to tell you right now, I want it to be Daniel Faraday.
All right, okay.
And I love him, but I love his character.
I want to be a bad guy.
But not want to be a bad guy, because you don't expect it.
All right, okay.
I think it'd be cool.
I guess
it'd be almost like when Michael shot Libby and Anna Lucia. You'd be like, huh, what?
All right, okay. So, those are all of our calls.
You could see Charlotte doing it, right?
Yeah. Now, here's my thing. I was kind of upset. I don't know.
You're upset because Claire didn't die.
No, Rousseau died. I was upset that Rousseau died.
Yeah.
Because now we don't get her backstory.
They can always go back.
Libby, and we still haven't gotten Libby's backstory.
But we got to see Libby today.
Yeah, I know, but I...
The lovely Libby. We got to see her today, right?
One thing we've wanted since season one is to see Rousseau's backstory. Now they killed her.
It happens.
So
it's lost.
I hope either she's still alive, or hopefully...
Oh, we'll get a backstory from Rousseau.
I hope so. All right, so those are our calls. Anything else you'd like to say?
No, that's it.
All right, so what do you say we get into your Crackpot Theory of the Week?
I say we do it, sir.
All right, here we go. Let me get the drum set ready.
So, we see Daniel Rousseau laying dead.
Dead.
In the jungle.
Dead.
She's not dead.
She's not dead.
She's not dead.
That's what I was saying.
She's alive. She's alive and well.
Why do you say she's alive? Why? What is your theory?
It's part of a plan. It was part of, she looked at Ben. She knew what she was going into. She knew, and she walked ahead. She knew those people were out there. We never saw. Did we see her? Did we see any blood? We saw blood on Carl.
Yeah, but remember, she got shot and she fell forward. So we didn't really see her wound.
So we assume she fell forward.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been a plan just to set up Alex. I'm telling you right now, Daniel Rousseau. I guarantee it.
Whoa.
I guarantee she's alive.
Men's Warehouse guarantee?
Yes. I guarantee it.
What happens if it doesn't happen?
Then she's dead. But no, she's...
That's the trade-off.
I guarantee you she's still... The whole thing with Ben, it just didn't make sense when he, you know... Like I said, this is the guy has just ruined your life. He took your daughter for 16 years, right? We all don't trust Rousseau, right? We think she's shady.
There's things in there that don't make sense.
Okay, did it make sense that she would just go, okay, I'll take him to the temple, on your word, I'll take Alex to the temple?
Not really, no.
No. And she didn't even, no questions, nothing. Wouldn't you ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Where's this temple? Where's it going? Who's got the temple? Is there anyone there? What's going on there? Not Rousseau.
But okay, now why would she agree to be killed or like fake killed?
Because it's all planned to get, set up Alex. She had to set up Alex somehow, and she couldn't.
Why would she set up her own daughter?
Because that's what they do on this island. Okay. I'm telling you right now. Telling you, Russo. It was the whole thing was shady from the start.
Okay.
Would you trust Ben?
No, I would not.
All right. Would you just go willingly into some place saying this is where you're going to be safe?
No, I wouldn't.
All right.
All right. So your crackpot theory is?
Russo is still alive. And we'll see the backstory because she's still alive.
Okay.
Now, we might not find out right away.
Uh-huh.
But I guarantee you, we'll see Russo walking around.
Okay. And?
I'm sticking to it.
Okay.
I guarantee it. I guarantee she's still alive.
Okay.
And Alex is pregnant.
All right. Jack, you ready to close out the show?
Yes, I am.
Do some updates on our 25-hour podcast.
The almost 25-hour podcast.
Almost 25-hour podcast.
The 23-and-a-half-hour podcast.
All right, here we go. All right, guys. We actually talked about this on the Lost.
And it was very nice.
Long Lost.
It was very sweet, very nice, very loving, I think what we were all saying.
But yeah, so we had a successful podcast.
It was a lot of fun.
Autism awareness and for donations for Autism Speaks. I think the total right now is $3,215,
which is about $3,000 more than I thought we'd raise. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know how it was going to work out. I think Jay and I've already talked about it and talked to some other people how much fun it was and how.
Yeah.
Obviously, if we could get the technology a little better,
mm-hmm.
it would work a lot better.
The technology kind of failed us.
You know, some people have complained about the technology. It wasn't our fault.
Yeah.
I mean, it was all, you know, TalkShoe. They couldn't handle the
load that was
on there, and it like said. Did what we could. It was mm-hmm. It was a live podcast.
Yeah.
There's some things going on that may not have.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's live and it'll be edited out. Some of the stuff will be edited and be released in different episodes. Do you want to thank everyone that was.
Yeah. You have the list over there.
I have a list of order and of appearances. And we had Dale, everyone's favorite punching bag. We did the Married Man podcast for about an hour. That was fun.
Yep.
Then we had Jorge Garcia, who was waited patiently for about 45 minutes for us to get back online after it crashed.
The first time,
you know, he was great and, you know, stayed with us and kept us,
about three hours.
It was a lot of fun. Even though, my guy got kicked off.
Marty McFly.
I was a little upset by that. But, you know, at least, I got to be honest, though, at least mine were all my picks. I didn't get pressured in by my girlfriend or, you know.
What are you trying to say?
Like the other two people who were with me. What? Hey, they were all it was toughest guys. I mean, how did Wrigley get on there? Toughest guys.
Ripley,
whatever her name is. How'd she get on there?
Because she's so tough. And I don't think it was guys. It was coolest characters.
No, it was coolest, toughest guys.
I don't know.
That was how it was explained to me. But, you know, at least, you know, I know McFly didn't make it, but at least they were all my picks.
Okay.
And I think that's all that matters.
So what are you trying to say about me and Jorge?
Just saying, hey, you're doing a thing, toughest guys.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't buckle under the pressure. I picked my top 10.
And who out of this room watches The View on a regular basis?
I watch it because I need to know what's going on.
Okay, go ahead.
What's wrong with watching The View?
I'm just saying.
You don't like The View? What do you got against women?
I'm just saying, you're talking about toughest guys. and you're a regular watcher of The View. So go ahead, continue.
They're pretty tough.
Okay.
There's some tough dudes on that show.
Come on.
Okay. And we had Kurt from the Black Rock podcast, Josh from the Josh Meister Lost podcast, Ryan and Jen from the Transmission. That was a lot of fun. We did our top 10 albums of all time.
Yep.
And I had Star Wars. I thought it was pretty kind of a shock that I had that out there.
Your list was okay. You kind of just went for lame and lamer.
I went.
The Kiss one was lame. It's supposed to be most influential albums of all time.
I bought it.
Simple enough, if Kiss is even going to remotely be on there, you got to do Kiss Alive because that's probably the most influential.
But that was the second album, a Kiss album I bought.
Does it matter?
I told you from the start, what did I say? First album from that group I bought, purchased.
All right, go ahead. Continue.
Hey, it touched me in a way that was, I would walk around with that.
Why did it touch you?
I'd walk around with high heel shoes.
Uh-huh. All right, before. Continue.
We had Jimmy from the Comic News Insider podcast and... That was a lot of fun. And
yeah, it was.
We cracked me up. He knows.
Well, he has a comic book podcast. I hope he knows.
Well, you do a podcast about Lost. You don't know anything about Lost.
Hey. All right. But well, he had the best ringtone.
He had best ringtone.
The biggest archive of ringtones.
That bothered me. I didn't know we were allowed to bring special effects. That wasn't explained to me. So if he wins, it's not fair because he brought special effects. Nobody told me I could do that.
Oh, man.
So I'm a little bitter about that. Uh-huh. And then Ralph from Darmalars, who came around because you were taking a nap.
God, I was dying at that point. But, you know, the nap didn't help. I felt worse. I took like a 30-minute nap.
You know, you look worse, too.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. But, you know, because I love talking about movies, so that kind of got me going again. Mm-hmm. And that really got me over the hump. And then we had Robin from the Wicked Awesome podcast mm-hmm. who joined us. We had Matt and Steve from the Smoke Hatch podcast, and they were mm-hmm. pretty fun. They were a lot of fun. Josh and Mander from the Lost Flashback podcast. That was also fun. And then we had Colleen and John from the Metrobuzz lined up, and then...
The system died.
System died. And we also had Daniel Day Kim, who tried...
It was announced during the show.
Now, you may hear that in some of the podcasts that he was supposed to be on. It wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
He tried for a half hour to get online, and since the system crashed, and we couldn't get on, he couldn't get on. So don't send hate mail to Daniel Day Kim. He tried to get on.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
I mean, we were pretty excited about it, and... I think that's part of our frustration. Not only, you know, we felt bad for John and
because
Colleen.
It wasn't a for sure in it because he had his schedule and it was kind of really last minute.
Yeah, last
going
minute.
Back and forth.
Actually, during the podcast.
Yeah, during the podcast.
I checked something and I went, he can do it. And so we said, cool, all right, we're ready, we're excited. And then when it crashed about 3:30, we're like, we knew he was going to call about 4 o'clock. We're like, then we called TalkShoe. I'll be a half hour to an hour. It turned out to be an hour and a half. It was just the point that it was like, oh, come on, guys. You know, it just could you make it another hour and a half?
But yeah.
It just wasn't meant to be. And then we also want to thank Cliff from the GSPN podcast. He came on and helped us out when we were having problems with technical problems. And then, of course, Cliff.
Director Cliff.
Director Cliff from...
1F Cliff.
1F Cliff, who told some interesting stories about foreigners not being from America, or if you're you're American, you're not a foreigner.
I love when you talk to Cliff because it just doesn't make sense.
You have to, you almost have to have like captions, or like
no, captions don't work because they just don't make sense.
You need a Cliff dictionary. He needs his own dictionary.
Just translator.
Translator, that's where you go, because he's the greatest guy, and he was talking about John and Kate plus 8 because he works on that show.
Yeah,
and then he was talking about how he was met. Four foreigners who weren't from America. I think that's how he said it. And then how he was able to change their view of Americans because he got them drunk somehow. Something like that. I don't know. It was something like it was a lot of fun. So if you listen to it, it was a lot of fun. We'll definitely do it again next year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we'll go 25 or 23 and a half hours.
Yeah, make it shorter. Because
but, you know, we would have made, because we were actually up, I think, till like 6:30.
Yeah, I think we're up like 26, 27
hours. Then went to sleep for an hour, then woke back up, and then... Yeah. I still haven't caught up yet, but it was a lot of fun. And what kept us going, you know, we had Colleen and Jana were on there, I think, the whole time. But what kept me going was, like, especially going back to the Jorge and we were doing our top 10 list, when I brought up Marty McFly, people were actually booing on the because you have a little chat thing and you could see people were booing. I'm like, they're booing me. They're booing me. But that was fun. It was just, like I said,
it was a blast. And you guys that were there with us, you kept us going.
Yeah, everyone that, because I think a lot of people were on there for most of the time and like I said, it was really serious. Watching that chat roll along, it does keep you going, keep you entertained and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun, we enjoyed it. And you can still donate.
Yep. You can donate at, because we did, I think, about $2,500 for the whole, you know, 23 and a half hour spiel.
Yeah.
And now we're up to $3,215.
And I'll be checking the post office box tomorrow. So.
Yeah, and I think our goal is to reach $5,000 by the end of this, well, a month from that, the 15th, so April 15th.
Yeah, tax day.
And then we're going to send in that check to Autism Speaks.
Yeah.
So thanks again for everyone that's been donating and it's kind of...
Or spreading the word.
Spreading the word, yes. And
TalkShoe has issued an apology? Or
Yes, they did. TalkShoe did issue an official apology.
And in fairness to them, I think I did tell them that it was going to be kind of a big deal, but I don't think they realized how big a deal it was going to be, and their system just couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
And just crashed.
Because the chat, so at least, you know, hopefully a year from now, things will be fixed and we'll have more experience in it and we won't kind of have this problem.
Yeah. And we might do it on a different day where where it's a holiday the next day.
Or, a holiday or it's summer.
We'll probably do it. Maybe we'll do it like Easter.
Something like that. Yeah. Where we have a day off and not have to go back.
Next day. Also, if you'd like to send a check, you can send it to Jay and Jack, P.O. Box 40716, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27629. And make your checks out to Autism Speaks. Don't make it out to Jay and Jack.
Now, there was a big question because during Jorge's part, we were talking about Mexican Cokes.
Right.
And Mexican Coke is Coke that's still made with pure sugar cane.
Right.
Instead of corn syrup, which they
changed. No, that's fake stuff.
In the late 70s when sugar became really
expensive. Did he say he liked it? I don't remember.
He said he loved it. He said it was amazing.
Okay.
Because I think when he went to LA, he got some and actually did a comparison.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. And then he saved the other one for the one that we sent him for.
I had forgotten all about it. I was wanted to ask him if it had made it or not.
Yeah.
We were worried about it exploding.
Yeah. But people are asking where I get them at. It's actually in Astoria, around where Carl lives. And it's called Los Amigos Mexican Restaurant Bar. It's actually right by the train stop, the last one, Astoria.
Hey, should we say Boulevard. Jay and Jack sent me?
Huh?
Just say, hey, Jay and Jack sent me. Just
I think they're going to know what that means.
They won't know what it means, but it just sounds, because I've always wanted to say that. Hey, say Jay and Jack sent me.
All right. And also we got an email saying that Costco sells.
Yeah, Costco sells. I saw that today.
I want to go. There's a Costco around here, right?
It's like in Cary, I think.
I think I'm going to go over there.
We're on a mission to find, because we've had a lot of people from Raleigh actually ask, where do you get it? And I said, well, New York is the nearest place I know. But
yeah, but you know, it may be in any Mexican restaurant. It's just it may be. It's just I think me and Carl just went in there randomly one day. It was like, let's go here. It's a Mexican restaurant.
Well, I was excited.
And they had them there. I was like, oh, that's cool.
I was excited when we found the bottle Cokes, because nothing tastes better than Coke in a bottle.
And there is a big difference between the sugar, pure sugar cane, and the corn syrup one. But that's the whole explanation. A lot of people
because he brought a Pepsi one.
Yeah.
And it was really good.
Yeah.
It was really good.
So, there you go.
I didn't sleep for a week, but it was that good.
Sure it was sugar?
I don't know. Hey, it said Pepsi, so I drank it. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
It could have been anything. It was kind of clear, though.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know. You go with it.
Also,
I got information on the new contest, because people say, where's the new contest? I don't see it online. Well, if you remember correctly, I said it'd be on the Monday podcast after the episode.
Yes.
And these questions... This was part of my rant on the lost episode. This contest I'm going to make as black and white as I can.
Okay.
Because you try and do the best you can. And I was really tired, and someone sent me a PM, and I tried to make them happy, and they just kept going on and on, and I just left it. I said, I'm not answering you. The ruling on the whole Saeed talking to Michael first, and actually Alaska Brad sent in a phone call. And kind of cleared it up. He said, well, the doctor was assuming he was speaking to Kevin Johnson. Mm-hmm. So he was actually speaking. So, and technically, he was speaking to Kevin Johnson,
yeah,
whereas Saeed was talking to
Michael.
So thank you, Alaska Brad, for having my back on that one. But that's what we ruled. You know, it's just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
I was having fun with it. You know, and just you try to make it as black and white as you can, but it's lost. And you don't know what it is. But these questions, I'll give you a couple samples of what some of the questions are going to be. How many times will Hurley say dude in the last 5 episodes?
Right.
I mean, that's as easy. And this one, I'm kind of going back. What I'm thinking is, will we see Penny again? And I will count if it's her photo. If you see, if Desmond pulls out that photo, or if someone pulls out a photo.
Seeing her period.
Just seeing her period. Okay. And you know what? And again, guys, you have to listen to what we say. You know, it's like we said before, you know, how many episodes and da-da-da. You have to pay attention. You can't assume something. Because we said it over and over and over again. But, you know... Let's just have fun with it and have a good time, and then we'll continue doing it. And they'll be up. The questions hopefully will be up next week sometime on the message board.
Yep.
And go from there. And I'll have all the questions done, because I've actually went back and crossed off a lot of questions. I said, that's just too iffy. I'm not doing that. So let's have fun with it and have a good time, everybody.
If you'd like to give us a call at 206-309-0311.
Call any time.
And it's 206-309-0311. Call any time with your last questions, comments, and or theories about this episode. Meet Kevin Johnson. Also, you can send us an email at lostpodcast@gmail.com. Once again, that's lostpodcast@gmail.com. Also, you can check out our website at jayandjack.com with all important information related to our show, like our listener form at lostpodcast.proboardstew.com. There's also a link there that you can click very easily. And also, check out our MySpace page, dig us on dig.com. Just check out all the links there. It's a lot of fun. Remember, nice little biography there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's about it.
I just like to thank everyone again for the last weekend.
It was a lot of.
We thought. I think Jay even thought he was going to be a little. I think Jay enjoyed it, didn't you, Jay?
Yes, I did. Yes, yeah, I did. Even though it was exhausting and I was still like cranky and irritable.
Well, the one point about 3:30, I think we were all three. Well, Cliff was keeping us calm, but it was like it was so frustrating at that point. Like we were so. It's like running a marathon
and just like
you stop 300 yards short. It's like, come on, we're right there, and you know, it's just.
And it wasn't our fault. It was like we had no control over it.
Yeah.
And it was very...
And we couldn't even get back in the chat room and tell people. It was just the most frustrating thing. But, you know, things happen.
Yeah. And it was, you know, we raised a lot of money, more than we ever really.
I'd be honest, at the most, I thought we'd raise $1,000.
Yeah.
At the most. But you guys came through.
Exactly.
And it was great.
Yeah. So thanks again, everybody. And I'll tell you the feed and everything, what those are going to be on.
Yeah, it'll be on, about 6 or 7 separate episodes?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
I did see something at Billboard today said, every 20 minutes, a child is diagnosed with autism. Mm-hmm. I saw that driving here in Raleigh today. So, something to think about.
Yep. All right. So we'll see you guys next Monday.
Yeah, well, I'll be here. Will there be a show next Monday?
Hopefully, we're gonna be in the same room. So hopefully, none of these weird occurrences.
Well, hopefully, we'll get some screenshots if Ben was in the wheelchair and some other things and
things look back on. Yeah. All right. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye. Yeah. One in every.
Aloha, Jay and Jack. This is your fan on the island, Ryan, with a long overdue Lost filming update. You know, things have been quiet since last November when production was shuttered by the writer's strike. But things finally got rolling last week, in fact, well before dawn on Monday the 10th. Up until now, though, most of the work has been taking place behind closed doors at the Hawaii Film Studio on the slopes of Diamond Head. But the Lost Location crew recently descended upon the campus of Honolulu Community College in Iwale, just on the outskirts of downtown and just a couple of blocks from where I work. They set up on a back lot and converted it into a dusty, rubble-strewn Middle Eastern city. Signs with Arabic lettering were hung above roadside stands, selling pottery, used luggage, and other knick-knacks. Wrecked cars and military transport trucks were scattered about. A small bar was built from the ground up with old photos and a picture of Saddam Hussein hanging on the wall, and a large Eastern-style concrete arch was built at one end of a narrow lane. The college actually sent out an email alert to students and staff about the filming, and they described it as an Iraq or Afghanistan scene, but I'm told at least one of the scenes being filmed also involved a hotel in Tunisia. I walked over during my lunch breaks to watch things unfold. There were lots of women in long black burqas and men in white tunics. There were Western soldiers in desert camouflage carrying guns, and as cameras rolled, a boxy old orange and white taxicab rolled through the arch and down the narrow lane. And there was Naveen Andrews in a dressy white shirt, and later that day, Michael Emerson was on the scene, dressed in khaki as if on a safari, and you could say he was hunting in a sense. He was shooting from a rooftop with a long-lensed camera. The second day of shooting brought a third familiar face and all-too-familiar prop. There was a coffin, and pallbearers, and for a funeral scene, a photo of Nadia. Obviously, there was quite a lot going on this elaborate set, and of course, with 5 more episodes to shoot to close out this season, the crew will likely be busier than they've ever been for the next month and a half. But, of course, that's a good thing for them and for us fans. That's it for now, as things are just getting started again out here, but there'll be a lot more to report in the near future. Thanks for the opportunity to report from the island, and Jen and I want to thank you for letting us participate in your 25-hour marathon podcast for the Autism Speaks charity over the weekend. Hopefully you continue continue to raise a lot more money, but also hopefully you'll get a lot more sleep. For The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack and the Lost Podcasting Network, this is Ryan from The Transmission bidding you all a fond aloha.